This is March 2nd, and the topic this month is spring cleaning.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There is a power for good in the universe, and we are part of that power for good. And it is our job, our duty, to see that good all around us and also in us, so that we are always choosing to see the good and not all the other stuff that is going on out there. And the more we see the good, the more it's going to multiply and the other stuff is going to go away. So that's one of the things about this teaching, is the idea of choosing, and we can choose to see what we want. Because remember, we do not see with our eyes, we see with our mind. So if we get our mind in the right and proper place and know that there is only good, only abundance, only prosperity out there, we will start to see that and bring all those good things to us. So don't let all the other stuff bother you. Just look the other way. That's all you have to do. Let that go. There are a lot of doomers and gloomers out there. They want you to look at that. They want you to talk about that. Don't do it. Just do not do it. All right? So, the title tonight is Spring Cleaning. And I've said this many times, that we take a hint from nature. You know, there's not nature and God. There's nature as God. So nature has to know what it's doing. And this is a time, in the springtime, is a wonderful time of renewal. And, of course, we have the Christian church, of course, uses a pagan holiday called Easter to bring that back into our consciousness, that there's something called renewal going on. But if you look all around you, you will start to see the trees are starting to bud out, blooms are coming up, everything is renewing itself. So all that stuff that we had, the dead, what we looked around, we thought was dead and so forth, there's something going on all the time, getting ready to renew itself. And that's what we can do with ourselves and with this mind we have. It's all done with the renewing of your mind. So this is a perfect time to take a hint from nature itself and do what I call spring house cleaning, or just spring cleaning, and get all those cobwebs, all those old beliefs and so forth that you don't, that are no longer serving you, out of your consciousness, out of your thinking, so that you can allow new things to come in to your life, new thoughts, new ideas. Everything is going to start with your mind, with what's inside of you, with what you are thinking. We're always living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. But we're also living, moving, and having our being in thought atmospheres. And what thought atmosphere are you projecting? When you project a thought atmosphere, you're living in that thought atmosphere. It's surrounding you, and it's also influencing everyone else around you, you see. So that's another wonderful thing that we have a choice. We can choose our attitude. So we know that we can choose our thoughts. We know we can choose all this. So we want to do now is renew ourselves so that we are living in a thought atmosphere that we want. What do I mean by that? We want to get rid of all those lack and limitation ideas, all those jealousy ideas, all those hatred ideas, all those things that we think are necessary. Just let them go now. Get them out of your consciousness. Get them out of your thinking. And start to apply this teaching. This is a wonderful time of year to say, I am born anew. Everything is new within me. My thoughts are all going to be new. And then my reality is going to be new. And get excited for that to happen to you. And it will happen. It has to, because this is a scientific teaching. So what you think about, you bring about. So whatever's going on inside of you, whatever's going on in your thinking, you can change that. And we say that all the time, and it sounds so cavalier to say that. And it's easy to change your mind. The hard part is keeping it changed, because your mind is convincing, and so is the world convincing. So it draws you right back in again. So what do you want to change about yourself during this season of renewal? What do you want to do? Think of that coming up through you, just like a tree. You know, the sap is starting to run and everything is starting to come up, and the buds are coming out, the flowers are coming out, the leaves are coming out. What do you want to come up in your consciousness now and grow and flower? What is it that you want? Think of that, and then know that that is what's coming up. Otherwise, you're going to get the same old stuff, the same old thing. You have to change your thinking to bring something new into your life. So this is a wonderful time of year to be able to do that. So with that said, I would like you to close your eyes a moment. And let's just go in to our mind. You know where your mind is located, right there between your ears. So let's look around in there, and let's look and see that mind as a garden. And right now that garden is starting to sprout. But it's starting to sprout not only good flowers and so forth, beautiful things, it's also going to start to sprout the weeds. So as it starts to sprout those weeds, if you're a good gardener and all, what do? You start to pull them up. You start to get rid of those things. I remember as a child, my grandparents, always springtime was a time to clean. Grandmother cleaned the house from top to bottom. Everything was made new. And my grandfather in the garden started to till the soil and get it ready for new growth to come up, for new flowers that he was going to plant. So this is a way you can look at your own mind right now as that garden. So if you see any weeds and so forth, anything in there that you don't want, let's hoe them right up now. Pull them up by your hands if you have to, but get rid of them. Some of them may have small roots and are easy to pull up. Some of them may have a tap root that goes a little deeper. Pull that up also. Use your strength. Pull all that up. And if you pull all that stuff up, all that old, dead, dried up weeds and so forth that you no longer want, all those beliefs, all those things that are limiting you in any way, make a big pile of that and dried up old stuff. A great, big, enormous pile. And then what are you going to do with that? Why don't you just pull from your pocket a match, light that on fire. And as you watch that fire, as you watch all those old weeds, all those old ideas, all those old things that are lack and limitation in your life, as you see them go up in flame, and you see that smoke going up, and you start to see that that pow is being reduced to nothing but ash, know that those thoughts that you no longer want, those beliefs that you no longer want, are going up in smoke, are becoming nothing but ash. Nothing but ash. And what do? We can take that ash and we can spread it back across that garden. We can use that. The whole idea in life is to take the garbage and turn it in to flowers once again. Take all those old thoughts and turn them in to something new. Something that will give you value. Something that will bring you what you want in life. And this is a perfect time of year to do that. So plant some seeds there. What do you want your garden to grow? What do you want your mind to do? What do you want it to grow? Happiness, abundance, prosperity, relationships, success, creativity. All the things that you were looking for, hoping for, all the things that you were desiring. Now plant them. Plant them in the garden of your own mind. And let them grow for you. They will take root and they will grow. And you will tend to this garden. You will give it the right nutrients. You will keep it cultivated so that the weeds stay out. When you see a weed starting to come back, get rid of that weed. Get rid of that weed. And each time it pops its head back up again, those weeds sometimes are very, very stubborn. Just pull it up and throw it away one more time. And watch your garden grow the way you want it to grow. Do that. Do that now. I will be quiet a moment while you till your garden, while you get rid of what you don't want and plant what you do want. You can come back when you're ready. This is the way you use your mind. This is the way you use your imagination. For me, it is quite easy to do those things because I remember my grandfather. And I remember that he would put out three, what I would thought, I was a child then, large gardens. And he was very particular and very precise with it. Each row was absolutely straight. He used a board and he kept them exactly at the right spacing and everything looked wonderful. Then at the end of those rows, he always put the package of what he had planted. And that's what we have to do. We have to put the package there. So that if it's going to be a turnip, it's going to be a turnip. If it's going to be a radish, it's going to be a radish. You see, I don't know how many people have seen The Fantastics, but there's a song in The Fantastics called Plant a Radish, Get a Radish Every Time. Plant a radish, get a radish every time. You don't plant a radish and get a potato. You see? That's exactly the way your mind works. What you plant, you're going to get. What you plant, you're going to get. Your mind will not change that. So, have your garden, have it beautiful, have it manicured, have it in straight lines, and then put the package there. This is what, so that you can look at that row, and you can say, oh, that's what is coming, that is what's growing there. And then start to see the shoots, start to see that coming up. and it will do that for you. It's a wonderful thing. I worked years ago for a lady. She always said, well, let's get our ducks in a row. And I remember that to this day. And this is another thing. We have to get organized. We have to put our ducks in a row. I have many clients that come to me and they want to know, oh, how can I do this, that, and the other thing? And I always have to remind them, do you know what the first law of heaven is? The first law of heaven is order. The first law of heaven is order. You must get orderly in your thinking. Once you get order, your ducks get in a row, you see that, and things happen. But we get all scattered. We do this, we do that. You see? Get your ducks in a row. Have your garden in beautiful rows that you can see and so forth. Just don't be throwing stuff haphazard here, there, and everywhere and make a big jumble out of it. Get order in your life. And then know what you have planted. The next thing that people do is we plant something and we completely forget what we planted. We forget what we planted. How many people have it taken maybe a year sometimes, or maybe even sometimes it's 3-5 years, and you all of a sudden get something. And you say, oh my goodness, I remember that from, I wanted that way back when. You see? Because you didn't get it as quickly as you wanted because you kept forgetting. You didn't tend to your garden. You didn't get your ducks in a row. You have to have order. Order is the first law of heaven. And we all forget that. We all forget that. I love to take advantage of all the seasons and so forth, because before organized religions and so forth, of course, this time of year was celebrated by the pagans. Because they lived close to the earth and they watched what nature was doing and so forth, and they knew they were part of nature and they knew what was going to come. You see, they watched the stars, they watched the moon, they knew where the sun was going to be. They knew all of this stuff. And they lived in harmony with all those things. We no longer live in harmony with those things. We think, oh, it's something else doing it. Get in harmony with the seasons. It has a life, you see. It has a rhythm to it. And springtime has a wonderful rhythm to it. And when you look out and you see all those things budding and doing and all, and you can anticipate the next season, which is summer coming. You see? And there is everything's in full growth in the summertime. And then we go through another cycle. It's just one cycle after the other. But we have to get in tune with those cycles and so forth. You see? Years ago, when before we had refrigeration and freezing and all this kind of stuff, we ate what was available in the season. Strawberries were not available where I came from in the wintertime. You know. You ate what was available. And you ate locally. It wasn't, it didn't come from clear across the country or from a different continent and so forth. Now they are looking at all that kind of stuff and they are realizing that that is a wonderful way to stay healthy. You see why it would stay healthy? Because it varies your menu. It varies what you're doing as the seasons change. What was available, you ate. You ate what was available. Now we can eat anything we want, you see. Maybe we're healthier, maybe we're not. The newest statistics and so forth, and the newest research on that is, it's much better to eat seasonally and to eat locally. your body responds to that because you're being connected. You're being connected to those things. It makes absolute sense, and we have forgotten how to connect to this thing called nature, which is just God in expression. It's just God manifesting everything, you see. So when we get closer to that, and we do that, we become healthier. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, the other thing about this idea of spring cleaning and so forth, as I said, my grandfather and getting all the gardens together and all, inside my grandmother was cleaning, out came the rugs, and they beat the dust out of everything. They got everything. So that in the springtime, everything was bright and new and clean one more time. And then I had an uncle, Uncle John. He was really my great uncle. He lived with my grandparents. Every spring, he went down into the woods and gathered sassafras roots and came back with those sassafras roots and made sassafras tea. That was a spring tonic. It cleansed the body from the winter. It cleansed the body from the winter. So this is a wonderful time of the year to think of those things and go back to some of these things that worked for centuries for people that we have completely allowed to go out of our consciousness and to go out of our lives. But I think the main thing to do and to remember in this springtime season is that you do, and you can use that, the garden of your mind. What are you planting in the garden of your mind? What flowers, what magnificent things do you want your mind to produce? You see, it's the exact same thing, you know. When you plant a seed in the soil, no one knows what the medium is. We say it's the soil, perhaps, is the medium. But we don't know what makes that seed sprout. What makes that seed sprout? I think the year before, I brought in my zinnia seeds, and you saw them just look like a little piece of paper. But there's something inside of that, and they sprout and become beautiful things. If you ever cut open a tomato seed, there's nothing in there but little gray powder. Just gray powder. But you plant that, and lo and behold, you get a tomato. You get something. Something is doing that. So if the ground can do that, your mind can do that also. You see. So you have to plant in your mind, in your thinking, what do you want? What do you want your garden to be? And it will produce that for you. It will produce that for you. It has to do that. That is why we call this a scientific teaching. We know perfectly well that the mind is capable of doing that. But we keep forgetting that the mind does that. The other thing is we're removed from all of this stuff. Very few people go out in gardens or dig or plant anything anymore, or have plants around the house or flowers around the house that they have grown themselves. So we forget how this stuff works. If it works in a garden, it has to work in your mind. You see, it's all this stuff is connected. It's all one and the same thing. And we have to bring ourselves to that realization that the garden of our mind is exactly like the garden with the dirt in it. And if you take care of that dirt and if you add things to that, you're going to get something beautiful. So earlier, when I said about thought atmospheres and so forth, what thought atmosphere is going on inside of your mind? You know, because you want your garden to grow in the best atmosphere whatsoever. So do you have an atmosphere of abundance and prosperity, of joy, of happiness, of love going on? You're the one who decides that. And that atmosphere is the one that will produce bigger and better flowers, bigger and better whatever you want to plant in there, whatever idea you want to plant in there. It will do that for you. I've said this many times, that this is a very simple teaching, and life is very simple. We just like to think it's complicated. We like to think, oh no, that's a garden and that's a mind. They're two different things. There's only ever one thing. There's only ever God. And if God is acting in the garden, then God is acting in your mind, and your mind and the garden are one and the same thing, capable of growing what you want. So what thought atmosphere do you have going on during this spring season? Do you always start out your thinking with, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter? Do you have that as a thought atmosphere in your garden of your mind? Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. That's the thought atmosphere that you want to produce in your thinking, in your mind. You want to produce that. You want to know how wonderful you are, how wonderful your mind is, how wonderful this life is. And know that that thought atmosphere then is a very healthy atmosphere to live in. It's a very healthy atmosphere for whatever you plant to grow. For whatever you plant to grow. You wouldn't throw seeds in a garden and then not water them or tend to them, would you? You just wouldn't do that. So when you plant something in your mind, you have to attend to it. It doesn't mean you pull it up, you know, each day and see how big the roots are getting and all that. But you nourish it. You nourish it with a thought atmosphere. I know perfectly well that this is working. I believe and know that this is working. You see? Because this is the teaching. This is this whole idea that what you think about, you bring about. What you plant will grow. Plant a radish, get a radish. Every time. It will not change to something else. If you plant abundance and prosperity in your thinking, if you surround it with a thought atmosphere of affluence, of opulence, it's got to grow. You're nourishing it that way. That's how you do it. So, use this mind of yours, this imagination of yours. Think of your garden and what you're planting in it and how you're going to water it. How are you going to water it? What are you going to water it with? What are you going to nourish it with? With your good thoughts, with your good feelings, with your good attitude. So that you can have a wonderful garden. A wonderful garden. Simple, simple, simple. Always. This teaching is simple. These concepts are simple. Why we want to make them difficult is absolutely beyond me. Absolutely beyond me. Every day during this season, spring occurs March the 20th. So from now on, March the 20th and onward, think of those things. Use your imagination. Sit down every day and say, oh, my garden is growing. This is happening and that is happening. And it will happen for you. It has to. Otherwise, this teaching is a bunch of baloney. And I don't believe this teaching is a bunch of baloney. Well, I have used these techniques, and I have produced many things in my life. So I know that this teaching works. I know that it works. And the other day I was out, and I thought I would treat myself to some flowers. And I was over in Pasadena, and I don't know if anyone's familiar with Jacob Mars Flower Company. I love Jacob Mars. Well, they always have, or they used to. They have what they call finger flowers, which is just a little arrangement about this size. And they used to be $9. They're now $12 with inflation and all. And it has a rose in it, and it has a calla lily in it, and it has an orchid stem in it, and it has something else in it. Just, oh, beautiful little thing. And, of course, my mind says, oh, now, Dallas, don't be spending that money. Don't do this, don't do that, blah, 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 blah. And I said, no, I'm going to buy this. I'm treating myself to these flowers. I absolutely love flowers. I'm living in an abundant universe, the opulent universe. So I bought them. I brought them home. I put them on my coffee table. That evening, around 5:30, 5:45, my doorbell rang. I thought, now, who would be ringing my doorbell at this hour? A man was standing there from a flower company, which I never heard of, called the Conservancy, with the most beautiful flower arrangement I have ever seen. It's a cylinder that about that wide. It comes up like that and turns in, you know, with a hole. It curves around. Inside of it is nothing but orchids. The most beautiful thing in the world. Orchids inside of it. From a client that I had years ago. From a client. So now that's on my dining room table. So why am I telling this story? Because when I was able to give up the $12 and release the $12 and buy something, a flower for myself, and say the universe is abundant, I am prosperous, I live in opulence and all that, that evening, that great big flower arrangement arrived. It works every time. I planted that in my mind. Now you could say, oh, that's just a coincidence. It wasn't a coincidence at all. You cannot say that in this teaching. You have to know that you started something. So by spending $12, I got an arrangement which must be $150 at least. You see? And that's what you have to know, that something is going on, that you're planting seeds, that you're planting something, and it's going to bloom and come back to you. It's going to bloom and come back to you. I told you this story, and I'll tell it quickly. When I lived in Atlanta, I'd moved into this apartment building, and I was sitting there one evening by myself, and I said, now I need a plant there, I need this here. Oh, that'd be nice here because it had beautiful sunlight, this apartment. It wasn't more than a half an hour, 45 minutes. Somebody knocked at the door and they said, my name is Woody Brooks, I think. I said, oh, hello, how are you? He said, you know, I live upstairs. And he said, you know, I'm an events planner. And he said, I have all these plants left over from an event. Could you use them? Never knew him before, and they all came. But I was sitting there visualizing and planting, and there it came. There it came. If I can do this, you people can do this. So you have to give up the idea that you can't. You have to start using your mind to draw things to you. And say, this is fine. I can do this. I know how to do this. Use this mind of yours. Use this imagination. Don't walk through life anymore wishing for things and hoping for things. Make things happen. You have a mind. You can plant in your mind what you want. And you will get what you want. You see? Do that for yourselves. Make this easy. You know, everyone's out reading more books, getting more education, going to more classes, doing this, that, and the other thing. I have nothing I have nothing to say bad about that, because you remember it was Paul who said, with all you're getting, get knowledge, you get understanding. And if you need the knowledge, you need the understanding, please go out there and get it. But don't make this thing so complicated, so difficult for yourselves, that you're losing out, that you're not letting it work. You're not letting it work. Let it work for you. Do you remember that saying I used? Don't work harder than God. Plant what you want in your mind, in the garden of your mind, and let it bloom for you. Let it grow for you. Let it come to you. And the more you do it, the faster these things work for you, because you start to say, oh, this really does work. This is the way it works. Otherwise, you're just going to read about it all the time. And you're not going to apply this teaching, you see. This teaching is a practical teaching. It's a practical teaching to be used to make your life better. That whole book called The Science of Mind, which Ernest Holmes wrote, it starts with, this is a practical teaching to be used. A practical teaching to be used. Of course, then he gets a little flowery and you can't understand half the stuff he says. But it starts out with, it's a practical teaching. And it is a practical teaching. Your other friend, Troward, does the same thing. The man, remember Judge Troward? He was service colonel or something in India. And he discovered this whole technique. The Indians from India knew it, knew that their mind affected things, that they could do something. He wrote a book, The Edinburgh Lectures, I believe they're called. Very difficult. You can get a copy of that. I may have one at home still. Very difficult to understand, very difficult to read. But all it says is, use your mind, use your imagination, plant something in the garden of your mind and let it grow. Plant it and let it grow. Instead of saying, oh no, that can't be done, or I have to do it this way, or this has to be done, or, you know, I have to do 37 Hail Marys and all that kind of stuff. You do not have to do that. You do not have to do that. Remember, this thing that we call God needs no worship whatsoever. God needs no worship whatsoever. And when you pray, you're not praying to God. You cannot affect the mind of God. You can only affect your mind with prayer. You must change your mind. So you must take this finite mind up to the infinite, instead of always trying to bring the infinite down to the finite. It will work for you. It has worked for others. You can read book after book. When I say book after book, I should make a clarification here. The older people, Mary Baker Eddy, Florence Shin, those people, Emmett Fox. Very simple teaching. Very simple teaching. What did Emmett Fox say? Get a mental equivalent. As soon as you have a mental equivalent, it's going to come into your life. It's going to come into your life. That's all that's about. So it's using your mind. It's using your imagination. And if you don't like the garden technique, I use the garden technique. I always use it in the springtime because I can see that happening. But you can use any technique you want. You have to come up with, that one doesn't work, come up with one of your own. Many people call it the garden of your mind. Many people call it the theater of your mind. There are all kinds of things. But it's all done with mind. And it's done with your mind. It's done with your mind because your mind is the mind of God. So you can either say, I am creating, or you can say, I'm co-creating. I do not use the co-creating because that separates us. Then we say there's God and me both creating. I say I am creating by using the mind of God, by using this power for good in the universe, this power that I know is there. We can call it the law of cause and effect, if you want. What cause are you putting out that you're going to get an effect for? It's a mathematical equation. The same thought always produces the same result. Always produces the same result. So start with a thought. Start with a thought in your mind. In order to start with a thought in your mind, you must use words. You must use your vocabulary. So what is going on with your vocabulary? You know, they've also done this as a statistical thing. People with larger vocabularies, you know, are wealthier than people with less words to use. With less words to use, you have to have a good vocabulary, because words structure thought, and thought structures reality. Thought structures reality. So what are you thinking about? Are you thinking prosperity, abundance, health? Are you thinking those things? Do you have an atmosphere going on around you and in you and through you that everything is wonderful? That everything is wonderful. Do you have an atmosphere going on inside of you that you know perfectly well that you're being taken care of? You're being taken care of. I have to remind almost everyone who comes to see me when they're going on. Most of the people come to me because they want jobs and this, that, and the other thing. Or they have a job, but they can't leave it because what would happen to their 401k and this, that, and the other thing. And I have to remind them, God is always your source and your supply. God is the source and the supply. The rest of it will come to you. I don't know how it comes to you, but it comes to you. Money is the side effect. But if you keep planting abundance and prosperity, affluence, opulence in your life, you will start to see those things. You will start to see those things. The other day, a friend took me to the Langham Hotel. That's in Pasadena. It used to be called the Ritz-Carlton, the Huntington Ritz-Carlton, but an English company bought it. I've been going there off and on for years. I love to go there because there are a lot of wealthy people hanging around there. So I drive up and I give the valet my car. And then I watch all the other cars come. The Rolls Royces, the Bentleys. And I watch all the cars and I'm sitting there and I go, oh, isn't this wonderful? This is great. This produces a thought atmosphere. A thought atmosphere. I feel happy. I feel abundant. I feel, you know, has nothing to do with how much money I'm carrying in my pocket. Nothing to do with that. And now I know somebody goes, oh, valet parking. Valet parking is free. It's free there. Just think it out. I love that too. That you can use valet parking. It's free. Some people won't. Oh, couldn't. Oh my God, that would cost me money. I'd have to spend money. You don't have to spend money there. And I'll tell you another thing about that. I often take people there on tours of the hotel because it's so beautiful. And I pull up and I say to them, I'm taking these people in for a tour. And they say, oh, fine. And they'll park my car. You know, and then I look through that whole hotel and I see what's going on, and I breathe in all that abundance and prosperity and opulence and so forth, and I go home feeling absolutely great. And I'll tell you why, one of the reasons why I do that is to stop my mind from saying, who the hell do you think you are? You don't belong here. You know? And a lot of people cannot go to those places because their mind tells them, you can't go there. You're not the important. You don't have enough money. You don't have this to go there. You don't have that. And you can't have that in your life. You see? So, think of those things and plant better ideas in your mind. Know that you can go anywhere you want. It has nothing to do with money whatsoever. Nothing to do with that. And then the money will come. And isn't it nice to see all that beautiful stuff? And I love seeing Bentleys and Rolls Royces and so forth pulling up. It's fantastic to me. You know, and I don't think that makes me a snob or anything else. It helps my consciousness. It helps my consciousness. You know, there's nothing wrong with eating at McDonald's, but I don't want a McDonald's consciousness. No, I'd rather have a Ritz-Carlton consciousness and live in that kind of an atmosphere. So it's the atmosphere in your own mind that is causing your life. It has nothing to do with this thing called money. Money will come. Here's another thing. Many people get into this teaching because they think they're going to become rich. Ernest Holmes said, you must remember that this is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but you can become rich if you apply the principles correctly. And that's what you want to do. You must first start planting in your garden, in this mind of yours, the idea of abundance, of prosperity, of opulence. And then it will produce for you those things. But if you walk around constantly thinking lack and limitation, or you allow your mind to say, who the hell do you think you are? You can't go in there. They're going to find out that you're a phony, that you only have $3 in your pocket. It's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you. And I also find in all those places, you run into the nicest people, the employees, everyone. I just treat you like royalty. Treat you like royalty. You know. And I would much rather walk through there than walk through, what's that? Well, McDonald's, and then I was thinking that we'll keep the lights on.
Motel 6?
Motel 6, yeah. We'll keep the lights on. You're not going to Motel 6. You're not going to run into a concierge. Here you can go to the concierge and you can ask him questions, and he answers, and he's very nice, and the horse. So this is what this whole idea of spring cleaning is. Get rid of those ideas of lack and limitation. Get rid of those ideas that you cannot go someplace, that you cannot do something. Listen to those movements in your mind that hesitate and say, oh, I can't do that. I can't go in these shops. I can't do this, that, and the other thing. Go in them anyway. You have to break that cycle in your thinking. Those are the weeds that I'm talking about. And those weeds will strangle out all that other stuff. And that is not what you want. So it's springtime. It's time to get rid of the old dead stuff. The dried up old things. The beliefs that are no longer helping you in any fashion. Get rid of them. Start anew. Plant a new garden. And let it grow in your life, so that you can have what you want, so that you can bring into this reality your desires. Whatever you desire, you can have. I remember this, and I use it in my own thinking all the time. This thing called God does not give you a desire without giving you the means to make that desire come true. Otherwise, that would be a very mean God. And this thing that we call God, whatever that is not mean. You would not give a kid an ice cream cone before he was able to take a lick of that ice cream cone, rip it out of his hand. God is not capricious. God is wonderful. God is good. And God is pure love. And you and I are the beloved in whom this thing is well pleased. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.